This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 156 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And we are, you guys already know, you guys voted on these movies. The listeners, we're in a boat. Me and Alex on this boat, it's a rowboat. And we're going up the river of time. And we've gone through the 70s, and we wiggled our way through the 80s, and now we're on the 90s. Okay, we're coming up, and we've done a couple 90s movies already. We're like at the halfway point, right? Or is this this is only our second 90s movie. Almost to the halfway point. A little bit of 1997 action here. Luc Besson's The Fifth Element. This is let's be honest, this is one of those movies that's like movie lovers all seem to love. Would you agree with that? Like, how many people do you know that like love movies that are always like, oh, The Fifth Element is awesome?
Hands down the best. Yeah.
But casuals don't know what it is still somehow. You know what I mean? You know, it's one of those movies.
Yeah.
You either love it or you ain't never seen it. I think those are the only two options.
I mean, it falls in a weird category, right? Because it's like a sci-fi action, fantasy action.
Poppy sci-fi.
Retro pop.
European. It's like a little European, but it's kind of Hollywood. It's very interesting. Yeah. We're going to break it down in a moment. But before we do that, Alex, how long had it been since you've seen this movie before this rewatch?
Honestly, it's been a while. I mean, I brought it on 4K, the Steelbook, when it was announced. I never opened it. This is the first time I opened it. So to be honest with you, I don't gravitate to this one a lot. This is my wife's favorite movie. Ooh, we don't watch it as much because, I mean, here on the pod, we watch so much freaking movies. We're trying to catch up. It's so hard to go back to watch old movies. But now with our new formats, we're starting to go back and forth and allow us to watch newer stuff that is coming out. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a while, a long time. But yeah.
Well, now that you said it's her favorite movie, you could let her know she is unbanned from the channel just for that. That is a great pick. It cancels out her Moonfall comment. Now, for me, I have seen this movie. I can't. Innumerable amount of times.
Yeah.
I don't even know at this point. A million. I've seen it a million. The last time I saw it, probably maybe a year or two. I bought the 4K. This is my first time watching it in 4K. So that was cool. But I had the Blu-ray for years. I had the DVD back when I was a DVD collector. Like we had VHS. My cousin had the VHS tape. Like this is a movie. This is my cousin's like favorite movie, but I've seen it a lot. So I'm very excited to talk about it because it's a movie that we haven't gotten to talk about. So The Fifth Element, Rotten Tomatoes. Very interesting here. We have a critic score of 70%. It's good reviews. But the audience score, and this is kind of what I was referring to, 86%. Way higher.
Yeah.
Almost 90% audience score. Yeah. And I definitely feel like if you are a child of the 90s or grew up in the 90s, this is a movie you saw. And if you're like under the age of 20, there's a good chance you've never seen this. That's all I'm going to say. With that being said, Bruce Willis, lead character, Corbin Dallas. Corbin. Oh, Chris Tucker. Corbin, my man. Corbin Dallas. That's a good one. Alex, what did you think?
I like Corbin Dallas. He was like a mix of John McClane mixed with Last Action Hero in one.
Oh. Okay.
Right? He had the mannerisms of those characters. I liked him. He was fun. He was a good character to follow in this journey at the wrong place, wrong time, just like John McClane. Yeah. And again, I just think he's a fun, like he was out of the military. He's a taxi driver, shit out of luck character, right? And then this beautiful, you know, Mia Movakovich.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, Jovovich. Movakovich.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, she falls into the cab. And then, you know, again, destiny hits and he falls in love with her at first sight. And the movie takes off. I mean, what more you get from this character? Like when he becomes an action, he becomes Bruce Willis action star when he picks up those guns. And I like it. Like he's a military taxi driver, but doesn't utilize his skill until warranted. And the movie is so quirky that it fits Bruce Willis's acting style. Like Bruce Willis, look, let's just be honest. Bruce Willis is one of those rare breeds that he's like a Johnny Depp of the action movie, right? Johnny Depp could do all these quirky, weird freaking movies. Right? Mm-hmm. Never a comedy. Never done a comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Not a straight comedy, yeah.
Not a straight comedy. We all know he's never going to do a straight comedy, but Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Edward Scissorhands.
Comedic elements. Alice in Wonderland has some humor.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Bruce Willis is just like that. Death Becomes Her. John McClane, straight action, right? Then you have a cool, was it Cool Running? No, Cool something. Be Cool. Is it called Be Cool? Yeah, he's in it. Cool. Then he's in Red. He's in G.I. Joe. Like, he's in all these elements of different acting. He was in Sixth Sense, which is like
The Whole Nine Yards? That was
the
kind of
The Whole Nine Yards, right? And then he was in like those Black Hawk. He was in one of those movies.
No, he was in like Hearts War, Tears of the Sun.
Yeah. See, so like when you look at his filmography, he's not a one trick pony. And this movie solidifies it. Because this movie, he made it his own character. This character, I cannot see anybody play, what's his name, Corbin Dallas. He's so good in this. I don't want to hold this up. I get his ass a 5.
Ooh, impressive. Colin, I agree with you. You know, Corbin Dallas is a lot of fun. This is a perfect Bruce. You're right. You know how sometimes you'll watch a movie and you go back in your mind and you're like, who else could have done this role? I got nothing. I got nobody. I got nobody there. Not in 1997. I don't know who else is dyeing their hair blonde and playing Corbin Dallas with the orange tank top. Listen, Corbin Dallas is the, and this is a thing that Bruce Willis does really well. He is just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He has a little tiny apartment, a little cat. He's not a jerk. He's just a guy. He wants to go to work. That guy tries to rob him. One of my favorite scenes. Just so hilarious. Yeah. Give me the cash. You know, this movie I quote a lot. I'm just going to let you know now. There's so many, like, I quote this in life. Give me the cash. I quote it all the time. Take the gun. I don't need it. And he starts dancing. it's so good.
You can see he broke character because he was laughing in certain parts.
Yeah. He couldn't help it. Well, how could you? That guy was weird. He just wants to be left alone. And then he gets thrust into this like just intergalactic world saving situation. I like him. I like him a lot. Now, he's not as charismatic as he's been in other things. And I think it might be because the script is really weird. I always feel like he's trying to play the role straight, do everything right, but like maybe didn't always get it, what was going on. And so he's a little underplayed, but the performance is good. Don't get me wrong. Corbin Dallas is the man. I really enjoy him. I like his weird relationship with his mom. He's always tired of her calling in. everything. He's great. I don't really have any complaints. I agree with you. I gave him a 5. I think, sure, you know, we're saying 5 is not John McClane, but I feel like Corbin Dallas is an immediate Bruce Willis role I think of when I think of Bruce Willis. And I feel like that should count for when you think of an actor, if it's one of the first roles you think of, it's got to be up there, right?
Yeah. I mean, hands down. If you would say, hey, name me something besides this, I cannot give you the guy he played in Red. I can't give you G.I. Joe character. I can't give you even the Sixth Sense. What the hell was his name, right? Like, you're right. Corbin Dallas and John McClane is attached to Bruce Willis. I mean,
I agree.
He is. But the thing is, like you said, he's not charismatic, but I think he's more sarcastic. Like to the point of sarcasm. Yeah. Like I thought it was genius, to be honest.
Yeah, he's great in this. Yeah. All right, now villain. So technically the villain is just like this big evil ball of evil. Fire, but the human that is involved in all this is played by the incredible, incomparable Gary Oldman. His name is Zorg. What did you think of the human villain?
All right. He was good. I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
Was he a typical... I mean, he was all right. This movie, to me, had more elements of villains, right? Like, I can't just go... I can't give him a score because they had the King Koopa people that was there. No. You know what I'm talking about? Like, those guys.
Yeah. The rubber-faced guys.
Yeah, they're like... Rrr! And then I was like, those guys were cool. I like... Actually, I'm not gonna lie to you. I kind of enjoy them. They look pretty cool. It just reminded me of that Super Mario Brothers crappy movie, but it just looked cool. Then you had... like everyone out to get them. So I thought it was like a, I don't know. It's kind of hard, but I'll go with it. with Gary Oldman. I give him a 4. I thought his performance was good. He was a Southern villain, right?
Yeah. For some reason, he's Southern.
He's Southern.
Nobody knows why.
Get me those stones. That was him. Get me those stones. You know, hey, father, you saved my life. I'll save yours. Now get out of here.
Chokes on a cherry.
Yeah, he chokes on a cherry.
He's got a pet elephant, you know, that little thing.
And robots. Robots will do anything for you. So, to be honest with you, he was good. But as an element, I thought the villains in the entire movie was so awesome. The entire universe that they built with these villains, I loved it. All right. I'm not going to lie to you. I know Gary Oldman, we're scoring him as the villain, but I can't lie to you, man. I like all of the villains in this. I mean, even when they went to the ticket booth and he was the bad guys and he's already in the
show. Oh, he's like disguised.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going and they changing. Dude, yeah. I can't, I'm sorry. They're all good. I gave it a 4 though. Gary Oldman, a 4.
Yeah. Nicer than me. I gave him a 3. Now, okay. Don't get me wrong. I love his performance in this movie. It's so weird. And another actor, you want to talk about quirky, like quirky roles, especially in the 90s. Gary Oldman was that guy. Dracula. But yeah. Oh, Dracula. True Romance, where he played a dreadlocked Rastafari from Detroit.
Yeah.
You got like, and of course, Luc Besson worked with him before this on The Professional, Leon the Professional.
Never seen
And that. He's like a dirty cop DEA agent guy. But another one, he has like really nerve. He does all this weird, like nervous tick stuff. But he's amazing in that. See, now if we were scoring that villain, different.
Yeah.
Zorg is like, he's kind of a weasel. He's like a weapons dealer. He wants these stones. You'd never really know why until he's talking on the phone with the evil. And the evil calls him.
Like, I was going to ask you that. Like, was he telepathically crushing his brain or something? Because he started to bleed. And he started
bleed chocolate, comes down his face.
That's what it was. It wasn't chocolate. Mm.
It looks like chocolate. I don't know.
I always thought it was jammed chocolate when I was a kid.
It looks like
balls.
It looks like balsamic vinegar. It doesn't really look like
it doesn't really
look like blood.
I thought he got jammed. Like
maybe. I don't know what it is, but I know he talks on the phone with the evil entity. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of weird. And all he's there to do is to get the stones to help the evil win. He doesn't really do much else. He's not fighting. He hires people, but he's so damn entertaining that I can't go below a 3 either. So it's like, if it was anyone else playing him, I'd probably give him a lower score, to be honest. Now, yeah. I do agree with you. I like the alien like villains. I think they're fun. They say what they're called. I just forget what their race is. But yeah, overall, just a 3 for me for him. All right, action scenes.
Oof. Oh, man. Not as much. There's not much. I don't want people to go crazy. It's not as much, but the reason why I'm going to give this a high score, I gave it a 5, was this is a typical 90s action flick. And let me tell you, that scene in the cruise ship when my man Dallas walks in and they just start using machine guns and, I mean, those big guns attached to like...
After the opera singer?
That scene alone, that's where the 5 came from because it was pure... entertainment. It was like, it was full-blown action, corny action. You know, it's like, this is so stupid, but it worked. Like, I totally forgot that they're on a flying freaking cruise ship and they blowing up shit. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it was so fun. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had so much fun with this action more than the Die Hard. And Die Hard had a lot of, I mean, not Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2.
That had a lot of action, right? Yeah. But this one was so much fun. You had explosion. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it worked also with the, you know, with Chris Rock in the scene. He's like, you know, count to 10. And I mean, sorry. Yeah. Chris Tucker, when he's like, you know, count to 10. And he's like, you know, 9, 10. Right. And then he's screaming. And like, I think the elements of that scene was so good. The interrogation, you know, I mean, when he was a negotiator and he just shot the guy, he was like, you know, orgs. I think it was called orgs. He was like orgs on roles with the one head guy. They followed them and he just went and shot that one and they all dropped their guns. And I was just like, you know, that scene was cool. You know, the ending with the Fifth Element. But honestly, that action scene was just in the cruise ship. There was nothing else to me. I mean, yeah, maybe after when they went to ticket booth, explosion there with the other cops in the hallway.
Lilu fighting those guys in the room.
Yeah, okay, you did. That was fun too. She was good.
The car chase too with the taxi and the cops and the
machine
guns.
That was good. Yeah. That was good. That reminded me of Judge Dredd. Remember when I told you when you watched Judge Dredd for the first time? I was like, yeah. Fifth Element is Judge Dredd.
Similar in the flying car city type.
Yeah, yeah. But it had the same, I didn't mean it like that, but I meant like the same vibe, like the same like fun. Like it took itself not serious. It was just a fun freaking movie. Like a typical 90s movie. You was just like, oh, this is actually fun. And I always tell people, watch Fifth Element. Watch Judge Dredd with Stallone, and you'll be entertained for the day. You'll be like, wow, this is actually pretty good. But anyway, I gave Yashin a 5. I want to hear what you say on this one.
Yeah, I'm a little under you. I gave it a 4, but mostly because of your first point. Like, there's not a lot. And this is not a complaint by any means. What is here, you know, there's the car chase, which is fun. And it looks great, by the way. For a 1997 movie, this movie's 25. And these effects, all of them hold up except... maybe like the one part, the way the planet looks at one part is kind of...
Yeah, it is corny. But yeah.
Other than that, like when the spaceship shows up in like Egypt in the beginning, it looks awesome. The flying taxi scene, all of it looks amazing. I love the practical effects on the villains, on the, you know, on the aliens. Mm. I like the rubber looking because it looks like a real face. You could punch it. You know what I mean? It's not CGI. Yeah, Mila Jovovich, at this point, she is now sort of... as far as women go, like an action star icon of a woman, you know, like a female actress. But this was her first like big role. I love her in the fight scene. By the way, I mean, we got to say it. Mila Jovovich is the action in this movie. She is incredible. She's gorgeous. She's hilarious. Yeah. You literally want her to like succeed at everything. You don't want nothing bad to happen to her. She's adorable. But she fights these dudes and she jacks them up. I love it. And then almost like a little homage to a Die Hard where she crawls up in the vent.
Yeah.
And then they're shooting it. You know, like that was neat. And I think it was on purpose. Luc Besson he's an aware filmmaker, you know. But you're right. The scene on the Flossed in Paradise, that's the name of the ship.
Okay.
After the opera, amazing. When he jumps off of the balcony the and behind the bar. Yeah. And the bar explodes and then they keep shooting it. Yeah. And he's telling the guy, give me the gun. Give me the gun. And he throws him the pool balls. And he's like, it's so funny.
Yeah,
I love that part. I love when the alien gets punched into the floor and then Chris Rock is screaming and then they're all shooting him. He's shooting all of them.
Yeah.
And he can't see and he's, oh my God. So you're right. This is like pure entertainment. It is. You can't not watch it and like just have a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Or just be thoroughly entertained. That said, there's just not a lot of action. So I'm giving it the 4 just for quality, you know, over quantity here. All right. Storyline.
All right. I'm not going to lie. This was an entertaining storyline and it still holds up. I will say that for whatever you said years, it's been 20 something.
25.
Yeah. 25 years. Story still holds up. I give it a 4.5. I think it's a really good storyline. We said it. A formula for a good action movie has to be a simplicity's plot line, something that the audience could relate to, and something that people could follow. They don't have to be a physics engineer or whatever, right? This movie, it was that. Fifth Element was me and, you know, they created this being that could stop this damn meteor from hitting this, and then you got the bad guys that are trying to get the stones. That's pretty much the whole movie. Unless I got something wrong here, but that's pretty much everything. And then your hero falls in love with the Fifth Element and takes it to the spot, and everything aligns. And I think it worked very well. It flowed. The movie was super fast because I enjoyed it. You're right. Lilo, she was cute. Yeah. She was fun. Yeah,
love her.
You know, multi-pass. Multipass. And she goes, I get
she
it.
Gotten, she gotten good.
That was my joy. Yeah. Multipass. Yeah. And he's like,
Lilo Dallas multipass.
Yeah, he's like, got multipass. It. You know, multipass. Yeah, she got it. Yeah, she got it. It's my wife. We just got married.
Everywhere she goes, she just says multipass.
Yeah, multipass. So that worked. The priest was funny. That, what's his name? Bilbo Baggins was fun. Yeah, he was fun. Yeah, the priest, he was hilarious. You know, everyone contribute to the storyline, and I think that's what made this movie fun. Chris Rock, let me just tell you, because we didn't tackle my man Chris Rock yet.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker is such a great performer, all right? I enjoyed him in this more than the Rush Hours, because he was hilarious in this one.
Yeah.
Where he's like, Call me my man. Yeah. He said, what is the word of the day? And he was like, oh, man, let's go.
Yes. I love that. I love every time he passes him the mic and he just says one word.
Yeah.
He gets mad.
And he goes, my thing. Yeah, that's what my wife loves. My wife started to do that after the movie. I was like, can we just, she goes, but again, like some of that stuff is, you don't get it no more. That's the only thing that's so sad. Like I get my eyes get all watery because it's not, we're not, movies is not what it used to be anymore. It sucks, man. We're reliving it, watching these things. And it's like, man, we don't have no Bruce Willis's no more. Like if you really think about it, he retired from acting, you know? Mm-hmm. We don't got these type of storylines. Everything got to be superhero movies and all this crap. But anyway, look, I gave it a 4.5. I think the storyline still holds up, and it's a fun movie.
Yeah, they do not make them like this anymore. This is one of those movies. So storyline, I'm a bit above you this time. I'm a 5. And I'll tell you why. First of all, Luc Besson wrote this movie. He started writing this movie when he was like 16 years old. And you can tell everything is planned out and thought out. These aliens have their, you know, their race. He wrote the language that Lilu speaks. He said it's, I've seen in the past, obviously, like I said, I've seen this a million times. Yeah. It's like a mix of like Greek and like Roman languages, like old languages. And that's what she's kind of speaking. He thought of the language. He thought of everything. There's nothing in this that wasn't meticulously thought out. And you can always tell when that's the case. You know, there is no thing that's just like, he just made it up on the spot. It all seems like something he wanted to tell, a story he wanted to tell. It's incredibly unique. There's nothing else really like it. Yeah. It's sci-fi, but it's action, but it's comedy, but it's like a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? I mean, you got a scene, literally a whole scene where this blue lady is singing opera and you literally watch it. And then the second half of the opera is cut with a fight scene. Like, what is this? What is happening right now? I don't know, but I like it. I know I like it. Also, I've always described this movie as borderline. I like what you said, because I think this is borderline impossible to explain to someone else without them saying it sounds horrible. While also when you're watching it, it's not confusing at all.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. When you are sitting and watching the movie, everything makes perfect sense. Everything is explained in the beginning, in the temple. There's the four elements. Like, they literally give you everything. But if you tried to say, if someone said, what's that movie's about? You can't really explain it properly. No. You know what I mean? You could say it's very simple. The fifth element, and this guy has to get it to a place to stop evil. You could say that. But if you want like a detailed, you cannot give a detailed explanation of this. No. You have to watch it. So I love that it is dense and well planned out and very, you know, very well written. While also being simple and fun. Like one of the most entertaining movies that I've ever seen. I absolutely just think it's a perfect blend of everything it does, in my opinion. All right. So overall.
No, dude, I agree with you. Look, overall, I'm giving this a fat 5. This movie is absolutely fun. It's absolutely enjoyable. You can shut your damn brain off for once and just sit back and just enjoy performances and enjoy a story, like if you're reading a novel or something, because that's what this was. This was actually like a fun novel, action sci-fi novel, right? If you really think about it, starts off with them in the pyramids, right? I love pyramids, so like that stuff is awesome, cool. Then you got these robots that just walk like this.
And penguins. They look like penguins.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. You got Luke Perry from 90210 there. I mean, rest in peace. Yeah. Right. Like you had him there. Then it goes right into present time at their time, which is, you know, the future and everything. And then the fifth element, you know, she's behind a glass. So it looks like more Resident Evil. And then she breaks out and then
it jumps through the aluminum foil wall.
Yeah.
And it's like aluminum foil once you come through it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, so like to me, you know, then you got the dude from No Holds Barred as the villain, as the president. What's his name?
I always call him Debo from Friday. But it's like Tiny Lister or something like that.
Yeah, Tiny Tim, whatever.
Yeah, I love him. Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Lister. Tim. Yeah, he's good. He's good as the president, right?
He's like, great.
Yeah.
It's a different role for him. He's not playing a crazy person.
Yeah, and he has like the one eye, he laid it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Like, to me, it all works well. Like I said, all the actors were spot on casted so well. That's what made this movie so fun. And again, I think Chris Tucker, man, he just makes it. And I love when he's singing all night long.
Yeah, and echo. They put like that echo effect on his the reverb.
Yeah. All night long. And then it has a little sexual in the window, right? When he's going, you know, when he's with the lady, he's like, come on, baby.
He's whispering.
Yeah.
She's just like, she can't even believe it. And she's like, faint.
When he signs autographs, he takes a paintbrush
and he just puts a green streak across them.
That's a fuck up. Anyway, it's a great movie. If you don't have it, get it in 4K. It looks amazing. 5 overall.
Yeah. Look, one of my favorite 90s movies. Hands down, I just think every time I watch it, I like it a little better. I'm not even lying. Like, I already love this movie, but when I rewatch it now in 4K, I was like, this movie's just great. I can watch it like next week if I had to. It's so good. And I don't like watching movies too close together. You know, I can't do it. But this is one of the handful. There's a handful. I could watch this at any time. This is one of those movies that was always on TV a lot. If it was on TV, I'm watching it. I don't care what part it's at. I'm watching the rest. The music is good. The visuals are good. The direction is strong. The writing is good. The cast is awesome. Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, Ian Holm, Chris Tucker. I mean, Gary Oldman, Oscar winner, Gary Oldman. I mean, it's just, and they're all willing to just do whatever the director said to do. If you really look at it, like, these performances are all kind of crazy. Mila Jovovich is speaking some other language. She got orange hair and she's wearing bandages. She could also fight karate. She has to just keep saying Lilo Dallas multipass. Chris Tucker's doing God knows what. I don't know what he's doing the whole movie, but I love it. Yeah. I love everything he does. His screaming, his super fast talking. He's just like, he seems like he might be gay, but then also he's like, the women are like, just head over heels for him.
I guess it's called.
Maybe. Yeah. Because remember, he has that line. He's like, I never felt this way about a woman. And then she like, but then later, like, he's always with the women. So like, it's a great kind of androgynous character, I guess, but hilarious. I think Gary Oldman got like balsamic vinegar coming out his head. Everyone's weird, but perfect. Perfectly. This movie is perfectly weird. Yeah. That's how I would describe it. It's a 5. I love it. I have no, you know, we had to score things, but I have no complaint. It is a perfect movie as it is. There's nothing that I would change about it. At all. Okay, so what's your total?
My total score is a 23 and a half.
Oof. I'm at 22. And you could blame this on Gary Oldman having to be the the not best villain of all time. Otherwise, this thing be up there. 22 out of 25 and 23 and a half. Listen, the fifth hour. I'm glad we were able to do this movie because I love this movie. I still think somehow it's underrated. People still don't love it as much as they should as far as 90s movies goes. And if you know someone that's like younger who's never seen it, show them this movie. Just, they may not like it. I could see younger people now being like, this is weird, but also they should see it. I feel like it's that kind of good sci-fi that should be watched. So anyway, that is the Fifth Element. Now, next week we have we always have a double hitters. Now, first one, Die Hard with a Vengeance, starring, of course, Bruce Willis again, and Samuel Jackson this time. And then our second movie, when I think you've never seen this movie, Val Kilmer, The Saint.
No.
I've never seen it. Elizabeth Shue. Good. I think you're going to mind. From what I remember, you might like it. It's kind of that spy type movie. So The Saint will be our second movie for next week.
Nice. Yeah, I've never seen that. So it's a first time. I like doing those first time watch episodes. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, they are. All right. So with that said, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix. More reviews, anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. Or if you guys want to go to our official website, go to geeksandflicks.com. You have all the Action Movie Guys podcast videos and audio there for you guys for your entertainment. Plus, we have our merch store. If you guys want to wear your Geeks and Flicks apparel, and you guys can go there too for that. Other than that, he's your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.